morning, everyone. I'd like to convene the CBAC TAC meeting for February 13th. So, can you do the roll call?
Light?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert? Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage? Riverside County?
Here.
Agua Caliente?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Dan. At this time, we will accept public comments from any of those that may have them. I do have a speaker slip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make this very quick. My name is Robert Manning. I'm president of Southwest Rail Passenger Association. And wanted to tell you that on Wednesday, February the 22nd, at 8:30 in the morning, Amtrak will have a bus at the Palm Springs train station to pick up a lot of the elected officials and other decision makers from this area for a trip into and tour of Los Angeles Union Station and their maintenance facilities. We'll have lunch afterwards, and we're going to come back on Amtrak's train, the Sunset Limited, arriving back here at approximately 5:35 in the afternoon. I wanted to make you folks aware of this simply because 9 members of your transportation committee have signed up to attend this function. And I thought, in all fairness, I should certainly make everybody here aware of that. And I passed a little information sheet out to all. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But this is really just a quickie information.
Chairman?
Okay. Yes.
Do we need RSVP? And if so, is there a number?
Yes, please.
How do we get you?
Let me give you my card.
Okay.
I just wanted to make this quick. And again, I have to thank Tom and Alan, because there's been a lot of work in the past dealing with this whole train situation. They've been extremely patient and very kind about this. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any other comments from the public? Seeing none. Now's the time to open up comments from the TAC or the Executive Director. Any members of the TAC have any comments? Seeing none. Tom?
Just one item and perhaps one introduction. The one item is on March 9th at 9 a.m. We will have a ribbon-cutting ceremony for 2 interchanges. Both Indian and Palm Drive Gene Autry are 99% complete. In fact, I think we may have a crew that's gone as of today out on one of those. So 9 a.m., there will be an event, I believe, in Riverside that some of your elected officials may be going to later that morning. So we'll keep it short and sweet. It will be at the Indian Avenue location on the northeast quadrant of that. There's a Shell station there, and we've done an event there before. It could be easy for you to find us once you get off the freeway. And then just an introduction. I think most of you know Randy Binder, but of course Randy Binder is your new representative from the city of Rancho Mirage, and is very familiar with CBAG and the Coachella Valley as planning director for Rancho Mirage for a number of years. So welcome, Randy.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Happy to be here.
Moving on, item 5 is the consent calendar. We have a staff recommended motion to approve the consent calendar items. Those in favor?
Aye.
Did we have a motion? I'm sorry.
Do you have a motion?
Yeah, Tom moved. I second.
Okay, thank you.
My hearing is going.
All right.
Something.
Any opposed? No. We'll move on to the 6A discussion item for the draft audited financial report, the draft statement of auditing standards. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Presented to you are CBAC's draft audited financial report and draft SAS 114 letter for fiscal year 2010-2011. The annual audit was performed by the accounting firm of Mayor Hoffman McCann. Staff recommendation is that CBAC receive and file the reports. Ms. Jennifer Falk, the shareholder, who with Mayor Arthur McCann, will briefly go over the audit and will answer any questions that you may have regarding the audit reports.
Thank you. We've completed the audit of the Coachella Valley Association of Government for the year ended June 30, 2011, and we plan to issue an unqualified audit opinion on the financial statements. An unqualified opinion means that the financial statements are free of material misstatement. In addition to a number of standard audit procedures that we do for the audit, I wanted to go over a few that were different for this year based on the activities. One of the things we did differently this year is reviewing the five largest projects for the organization. We looked at the agreements, we looked at the revenues and expenses and any loans receivable or payables, grant receivables, and made sure that everything was recorded correctly in the right fiscal year and in accordance with the agreement. We also reviewed the executive director's contract to make sure that there were no unusual compensation practices that would affect the risk of material misstatement in the financial statements, and we did not find any. We received independent third-party confirmation supporting 98% of the receivables. We tend to test revenues and receivables analytically, but here it's very easy to actually get third-party confirmation, which is the highest level of audit evidence that you can get that those numbers are correct. We also tested the new county revenue bonds and the related repayment of the Measure A advances this year because that was a current year transaction. Auditors required to report certain information to those in governance. There's a separate letter addressed to the executive committee that includes these items. The letter informs you that CVAG adopted GASB statement number 54 this year, which changed the fund types and some of the classifications of fund balances and governmental funds. There were no material journal entries as a result of our audit. If there were, we would need to disclose those to you. We did include a schedule of adjustments that were detected during the audit, of adjustments that were not made because they were immaterial to the financial statements, and it's common that we have small adjustments that management chooses not to make because of their insignificance to the financial statements. We noted no instances of noncompliance during our audit. We also noted no internal control weaknesses to communicate to you. So the reports are currently in draft form and subject to review prior to finalizing them for the executive committee. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the audit process or the audit reports.
Any questions? Yes, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of us in this room are under more scrutiny than ever before for our spending habits and practices and the way we account for our funds. So I think it's important for us to recognize, thank and commend Tom and his entire staff for getting an unqualified opinion. We all understand how important that is, and I want that on record. Thank you.
Is there a reason that we don't get the letter, the Input Advisory Committee, the actual details of the letter?
The letter that goes to the executive committee.
Right.
I believe it is in your packet.
Oh, did I miss it?
There's financial statements and a separate two-page letter.
On our website. No, we actually just put it on the website. If you need it's available on the website.
Thank you. So that's the reason we don't get it in the packet.
Yeah.
We got a motion.
So moved.
And second.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item is 6B, single-use plastic bag ordinance. Katie Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This actually is an item that was brought up at the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee at the request of the City of Palm Desert and City of Indio. Both cities have had some preliminary discussions about the possibility of addressing the problem of single-use plastic bags, or basically just the plastic bags that we all get when we go to the grocery store and other retail outlets. The concern about plastic bags is one that is fairly significant in terms of the impact on the environment, and I just wanted to very briefly give you a few items with regard to the concerns about plastic bags, and then give you a quick summary of the discussion that took place at the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee meeting on Thursday, last Thursday. I also wanted to acknowledge Missy Whiteman, who is here from the City of Palm Desert. Missy is the Sustainability Manager, and I want to appreciate Missy's done a tremendous amount of research on the topic. In your packet is a presentation that was made to the Palm Desert City Council with a lot of background information on plastic bags. The issue about with plastic bags is local and global. Actually, plastic bags end up in the ocean. They create problems for wildlife. Birds consume them. It turns out that plastic bags are the number two kind of trash that can be found in the wide oceans. The number one is cigarettes. Number two, plastic bags. Plastic bags obviously come from a lot of different places, not to say that all of our plastic bags here end up in the ocean, but in our environment, a challenge with plastic bags locally is because of our windy climate. It's very frequent to have plastic bags blowing in many locations. And unfortunately, they then become a trash problem, with city crews having to spend time cleaning up those plastic bags. And I know that the City of Palm Desert has developed some information about the time spent on plastic bags. And John, since you've arrived, I will ask you to give us any updates in just a second. The concern with plastic bags is that while many plastic bags are generated, and it turns out that most of us on an average basis in the United States and even in the state of California, about 500 plastic bags per person per year, we use those plastic bags for about 12 minutes. They really are just for us to get our materials home. And only 5% of the plastic bags that are distributed are recycled. Plastic bags create a problem for our recycling industry as well. BirdTech locally does not like to receive plastic bags, so they are not being handled through the traditional recycling methods that we are effectively using to increase the diversion rate of other solid waste. That's not happening with plastic bags, so this is another concern. Really the issue, I think, is there some way to address and reduce the amount of plastic bags that are being produced and used by the retail outlets and by the consumer so as to reduce their impacts both on our disposal situation as well as on the environment. Your staff report, as I mentioned, includes a lot of information from the City of Palm Desert and a discussion that took place at the Palm Desert City Council in December. The City of Indio also had an item regarding this on their agenda, and Dan, please feel free to add anything that you have. It actually was brought forward to the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee by Mike Wilson, who's the vice chair of the committee. And apparently at the City of Indio, there has been discussion and formation of a sustainability committee. One of the items that they are looking at specifically is how to address plastic bags and the potential for a plastic bag ordinance. The concept that both cities, Palm Desert and Indio, proposed was that it would make sense for this to be treated on a regional basis. And if we were going to have a ban on plastic bags, it wouldn't make sense for one city to do it, but it really should be treated on a regional basis. In that regard, the Solid Waste and Recycling Working Group, which is made up of members of your staff who handle solid waste issues, talked about the issue and made a recommendation. And as I mentioned, the Energy and Environment Committee discussed this last Thursday. There actually was quite a bit of discussion on the subject. The committee, I think, all of them, I think, recognized the challenge and the problems created by plastic bags, in particular the waste and the impact on the visual beauty of the desert when you have plastic bags being caught in fences and blowing everywhere, and also the impact on the environment. The staff report identified that those plastic bags can blow in areas where they get consumed by critters like desert tortoise and may also impact other wildlife. I think there was kind of an uncertainty about what might be the best option to proceed. There was a lot of discussion about what's going on at the state level and some consideration that there could be state legislation that would address this plastic bag issue. As described in your agenda packet, there are a number of cities here in the Southern California as well as Northern California who have adopted plastic bag ordinances, in some cases banning plastic bags, in some cases charging for a plastic bag to be used or charging for other alternatives such as paper bags. So there's a lot of different ways that this issue has been handled. The Energy and Environment Committee, as I say, discussed it quite a bit, and they did have some questions. One particular question had to do with what is the impact on excuse me, what is the potential for retailers to find alternatives? And Missy, in her research, identified places like Costco, which actually rarely use plastic bags. They hand out boxes and other things to provide as an alternative. And many retailers are now using reusable bags, and in some cases designer reusable bags are becoming more and more available at the retail level. One of the questions that the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee specifically asked was, is there any state legislation that would target this issue, and is it likely that a state solution or a state action on this is coming forward? And they actually asked that the Solid Waste Recycling Working Group take a look at that, bring that back to the E&E, the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, at their next meeting in April. I would like to just take a moment at this point and see, John or Dan, if either of you had any comments with regard to how this issue is being addressed in your city.
I think you did a good job covering all the issues that that have been raised at our council meetings. There is a committee that's been formed at our city that's working diligently, but everyone in our council agreed that it didn't make sense for Indio to come up with its own ordinance when it's really a global issue here in the Coachella Valley. We happen to be downwind for most of the cities, so we get the brunt of it. But if there's going to be a solution, and we all agreed, or our council agreed, that it needs to be a global one. That's why it was referred to CBAC.
And Palm Desert is still interested in the ban, but like Dan mentioned, they felt, in fact, on Monterey, on one side of the streets, Rancho Mirage, with the Albertsons, the Home Depot, and the other sides, Walmart and Bristol Farms, it didn't make sense unless we dealt with this on a regional basis. I do agree that hopefully state legislation, get Governor Brown working on something other than the elimination of city funds.
Is that a motion?
We are hopeful that this discussion continues. I think it's a healthy discussion. Should go from the Solid Waste Committee to Energy and Environment and move forward, and if there's interest valley-wide to discuss that and hopefully develop a plan. I think that's the City Council's position.
Thank you very much. Well, I think in terms of the input from the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, as I mentioned, there were a number of questions, one of those having to do with what would be the reception from the retailers. I know that Missy has had contact with the American Grocers Association, who have offered to work with us. So I think the suggestion from the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee was that we go back to the Solid Waste Working Group. Their next meeting is in March. That they provide some additional input to some of the questions regarding how might it be interfaced with retail, what are some of the significant concerns that might have come up in various cities. I know Desert Hot Springs considered this issue a couple of years ago. But also to look at state legislation and what the potential legislation is out there. Another question that was asked that we could refer to the Solid Waste Working Group is what, if any, legal actions were taken against cities who have already passed a plastic bag ordinance. So that's the direction from the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee. This is really an item for your input, and it would potentially move back to the Solid Waste Working Group for their consideration. And it is the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee did ask that it be brought back to them in April with additional information. So I'd be happy to answer any questions or...
We did look at it. Desert Hot Springs looked at this about 4 years ago, and we decided we couldn't afford to be the first penguin into the pool. Because within a week after discussing it, our council, 10 guys in suits showed up at the next meeting, and it was the plastic bag lobby. I didn't know there was such a thing as a plastic bag lobby, but they certainly did arrive. And at that time, our concern was, yeah, this is a great idea, but somebody else with some greater staying power has to be involved in this. And so we backed off. And at the time, I think Berkeley was a community that was moving forward with it. And then shortly after that, San Francisco was moving forward. But there was, it seemed to me there was legislation moving a couple, 3 years ago. And I don't know whatever happened with that, but that would provide the greater blanket for all of us. Individually, it's going to be impossible. It's the right environmental policy. But individually, none of us will be able to. Or at least, I can only speak for my community. We could not.
So. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Blythe has not looked at this yet, and I think the reason is with our prevailing wind, the bags hop over the river and end up in Parker, Arizona. We're okay with that because with the new Walmart there on the reservation, everybody in Blythe goes shops there. They take their goods home, they unload them, and the bags end up right back at Walmart in the Parker, and we're okay with that. But having said that, I've been around long enough to where it was 20 or 30 years ago, plastic bags were a great thing because it protected the trees. Now we're back to paper bags being less worse than plastic because the trees will still suffer. Is there a discussion of that?
Well, I think the best alternative is the reusable plastic bags, and those are not, of course, the preferred technology for everyone. Stores like Trader Joe's have indicated that 30 or 40% of their customers use the reusable bags because you're right, there's probably a balance of figuring out whether a paper bag is better or worse than a plastic bag. They both have impact, so the proposal in communities that have taken this up is to really push for the reusable bags.
How about cost of paper? They just have to cost more than those piles and piles of plastic, I'm guessing. Now, I'm way over my head with plastic versus paper, but don't they cost more?
Yeah, the numbers, and Missy can correct me if I'm wrong, plastic bags are about 6 cents a piece, and paper bags are about 15 cents a piece. What at least one community has done is to make paper bags available at an additional charge, and then the communities actually keep the funds that they, the retailer keeps the funds that they receive, which helps to offset the cost for them with it.
So is Winco going to absorb the cost, or the price is going to go up?
Yeah, I mean, all of those obviously are issues that would need to be that been working with retailing on us.
What's your sense of the value overall? Is everybody pretty much interested in this with the same caveats Rick just brought up?
I think there was a lot of discussion at the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, one about resources that all of us have at this time. That was definitely a concern brought up by a number of the members is, we're all challenged with staff time and the ability to do these things. And while it makes a lot of sense, certainly doing it on a regional basis made a lot of sense to that group. I think there was a lot of interest in whether there was an educational element that could accomplish a lot, and there was also a lot of interest in working with chambers of commerce in the retail community to try to, maybe not necessarily a legislative solution, but a retail one. I know that there has been state legislation. At this time, I don't know that there's any active legislation, and that was one of the items that we were asked to further explore and bring back to the
Do we know, excuse me, where Mr. Manuel Perez is on this?
I don't. That would be another item that we would take a look at in terms of additional
information. Thank you.
Yes, Dave.
There is a, just to back up a little bit about what Rick said, there is a an opposition to this, an industry opposition from the people who sell this, and some retailers, not all, some of the retailers see this as a potential profit center, basically charging for additional. But that whole dialogue seems to be missing from this, from that group. And I know they're not quiet. They show up at council meetings and other things. So that's my only concern, is that we make sure we have a fair airing of what the arguments are on both sides.
And that was certainly another item that was brought up by the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, and one of the information needs is to really get more conversation with the retailers. I think Missy, I think you are planning to have some meetings with local retailers.
Yeah, we have we're scheduling a meeting with local business owners in Palm Desert right now to get their input on it. And the plastic industry is very opposed to different cities putting restrictions on it, so they do come out when the discussion comes up. Recently, the most recent one was City of Manhattan Beach. They did a called CEQA documents are required as part of it, and they did a mitigated neg deck. And Save the Plastic Bag Coalition sued them, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and City of Manhattan Beach won that lawsuit. So there is, that is something to be aware of, it is out there. But yes, we will be meeting with local retailers. In my discussions with the City of San Jose, they imposed a plastic bag restriction, and they said retailers got on board when they found out that they could charge for either plastic or paper bags. And they got to keep that fee tax-free. So it doesn't come back to the cities directly, but the retailers get to keep that fee.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You know, from my standpoint, plastic is a problem. You know, these bags break down, but only into smaller and smaller pieces. Has there been any thought to creating one that's actually biodegradable?
I know there are some, on a limited basis, that are biodegradable plastic bags, and that's probably another question that we could explore further in terms of information.
I think Misty looked into the biodegradable bags. Misty can probably speak to that. I have another concern. The concern is how much does it cost, for example, the City of Palm Desert to do cleanup in our lots and our parks? That's an expense that we incur every year, or the cost of code enforcement. Mm-hmm. It's significant in Palm Desert's snore sphere, where the wind blows. We try to cut vegetation down so it ends up in Indian Wells.
We did the same thing, that's how come you got it.
Missy, you looked into the biodegradable.
The biodegradable bags, some cities have allowed biodegradable instead of plastic. The problem locally, which we have to deal with our franchise agreement with Palm Desert specifically and in Birchett, is that they have troubles recycling biodegradable bags. Birchett doesn't even advertise that they recycle plastic film because they describe it as an overwhelming amount of material coming into their facility that they won't be able to handle. And when you introduce biodegradable bags into that mix, they don't have separators to look and see, is this a plastic bag, is it plastic film, or is it biodegradable? And when they come in, they have so many problems with that film clogging up their sorting systems that it's just a complete hassle and waste of time for them. So they don't like to deal with it, and they don't recommend changing over to biodegradable. It is an option, but there's many more difficulties that come with it.
And for those of you that saw the regional solution here, again, there was a lot of consensus at the energy and environment. You were elected officials that regional makes more sense than local. However, they also said statewide makes more sense than regional. And mm-hmm. So CVAG is probably not going to be working on a regional solution anytime soon. There were a lot more questions than consensus at the energy and environment meeting. In a sense that, again, state legislation may be the way to go. Now, it's possible, perhaps, if we find out that there is no state legislation, of course, CVAG could approach our legislators to suggest as much. That could be a follow-up step.
So what are we doing here? Is this
this item was initially put on with some expectation that there would be interest in moving forward with a regional approach. There is that interest, but not right now. What the Energy and Environment Committee said to us is, take a look at state legislation first and come back to us. So this is just an information update to let you know what your bosses and mine are telling us what to do and what not to do at this stage.
And I believe last year there was a bill on this very issue. We could research.
Yeah, we'll dig into this and get back with the Energy and Environment Committee and you all in April.
Do we need to take any action?
No actions needed.
Next item, 6C, Green for Life update. Katie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We just wanted to provide you an update on the status of our Green for Life program. Things are going very well with the Green for Life program. This is a multifaceted program which is offering, and right now we're working with cities on greenhouse gas inventories. Those have been prepared and drafted and circulated to your staff at the Edison cities. A number of other cities, La Quinta and Coachella, are also, as I understand, working on a greenhouse gas inventory. And one of the elements that we'll be developing is a regional perspective on the greenhouse gas inventories that will update what was done by the Air Quality Management District for CVEG in 2010. The benefit of that relates to many of the issues that we're dealing with today, the regional transportation planning and sustainable community strategy aspects. We're also looking at using that information as a baseline as we work on developing the Parkway 111 project, Parkway 111, excuse me. Another aspect of the program is putting together a green building program, a green building policy that we anticipate being developed on a regional basis. That has been developed in a draft form, and over the last few weeks, our consultant Terra Nova has been meeting with city staff from many of your cities. One of the next steps on that is we want to get together with those cities that are not served by Edison, La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella, to talk with your staff about some of the things that are coming out of this program that could be a benefit and be used by your cities as well. So you can anticipate hearing more about that. I know there have been ongoing meetings with your staff and the building departments and others. Another key element of this program is the development of an energy action plan, and the team from EcoMotion, our consultant team, is putting that together. I just want to acknowledge Pat Conlin, who is here with us today. Many of you may know Pat, who is a former building official from the city of Palm Desert, and Pat is taking the lead on that program. I do have a memo that I'm going to hand to those of you who are representing Edison cities after the meeting. Just giving you information, Pat's going to be going out. One of the aspects of an energy action plan, this is basically a plan to look at your city facilities and your community and identify opportunities for energy savings and cost savings that would be associated with that. The energy action plans give you kind of a path forward, and as an example, the city of Cathedral City has, we have drafted a preliminary energy action plan for the city of Cathedral City. They are going for what's called gold level status with our Southern California Edison, and the city council a few weeks ago heard the preliminary report on that energy action plan. It basically looks at how much are you spending on various energy, electricity, et cetera, and what are the opportunities for savings. So that as grants and other things come forward, there is the ability to take advantage of those. Anyway, Pat's going to be contacting your building official staff, and we'll be sending you out an email just to advise you about that. And I also do want to remind you that as part of the Green for Life program, we have the ability to reimburse you for staff time spent on the program, and we're working with your staff. I know we've gotten some of those invoices coming, and we want to make sure that that you can invoice us for time spent at trainings or when we come to your offices to meet with your staff. That can all be reimbursed by the program. So over the next few months, this program goes until October, and another kind of heads up for you is with regard to the green building program and other elements of this, we anticipate contacting your elected officials from the city. We'll do that in coordination with you and your the liaisons that work with us in the Energy Partnership Working Group to let them know about what's going on and in cases where the energy action plans and other plans get specific feedback. We anticipate having workshops at various cities to get input on the various developments that we have here. We've just completed going around to all the city councils and making a presentation about what's going on so they will have more background information. So there's a lot of activities that you will continue to hear about, and we will keep you updated, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on those items, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Katie.
It's just an information.
Katie, given that we have our own partnership, where does Palm Desert fit into this energy action plan?
Well, one of the things that we hope to do, John and I talked to some of your staff about this, is to work with the city. The energy action plan is kind of a template that we have. Unfortunately, because we're funded through Edison, we're not able to spend our Edison dollars on cities that are not participants, but the template is something that we think could be used by staff, and maybe through the partnership funding that Palm Desert has, we could work with your staff on putting one of those together or updating. You may already have an energy action plan. Likewise, with the green building ordinance, I know the city of Palm Desert adopted a green building ordinance, a REACH code, a couple of years ago. That's now probably consistent with the current code, but we want to work with your staff on our goal would be to have that be available to all of the cities on a regional basis, and we'll be bringing it through the technical planning subcommittee at CVAC.
Any other questions? Yes, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for Tom's edification, Jacob Alvarez came out to the Blythe last council meeting, did an excellent job in front of the council. Wanted you to know that. He also heard from one of our, I think the term these days, politically correct term, is professional citizens, and he deflected nicely the comment that came his way from her. So just want to thank Jacob for the good job he did.
Thank you, Jacob. Any other questions or comments? Do we need to take any action or just
say information?
Next item, 6D, consider policy statement regarding use of transportation related funds to support construction of the Whitewater Parkway.
You don't have to read the full thing. Everybody can get that. And most of you have got plenty of background on the subject, but just to remind you, with the Sentinel Power Plant, they were required to issue a check for about $53 million, which they did to the South Coast Air Quality Management District. Those monies have to be spent for emission reduction purposes pursuant to legislation offered by Manuel Perez. And there are a number of three different categories of funding streams. And the South Coast Air Quality Management District on a week ago Friday took some important actions related to this funding. Important actions for the district, but very important actions for the Coachella Valley. If you remember hearing presentations from me over the past few months, one of my concerns, and certainly Supervisor Benoit's concern, is of the $53 million, until last Friday, 70%, pardon me, up to 70% of those funds could have been spent somewhere other than the Coachella Valley. And for those of us sitting in this room, that didn't feel quite right. That a power plant would be built near Desert Hot Springs, and all of the emissions from that power plant would flow into the Coachella Valley, yet some of those funds, up to 70%, could flow out of the Coachella Valley and head west into the South Coast Air Basin, our partners, and the rest of Southern California. With Supervisor Benoit's leadership, and it really was masterful, and I think the press picked it up to some extent. But Supervisor Benoit is one of 13 board members on the Air District. And, of course, the other 12 represent 16.5 million people over there. He was able to work, certainly in advance of the meeting, but even masterfully at the meeting, to encourage his colleagues unanimously to have all $53 million spent in this air base, in the Salton Sea Air Base. He did not, I apologize, David, Palo Verde Valley was not part of that motion, but I'm sure
we'll be applying.
I'm sure that's coming. So that's fantastic news with the Coachella Valley. And the Air District Board authorized their staff to issue a request for proposals, which is now out. I saw Aurora with a copy of it today, and I think it's available on their website, probably referenced on Supervisor Benoit's website as well. Again, there'll be a number of funding categories. It is not easy to apply for South Coast Air Quality Management District funds. There are a number of requirements, and you have to demonstrate organizational capacity and emissions reductions and everything else. So the Air District did really two extraordinary things for them. One, they agreed to a number of outreach activities in the Coachella Valley, including pre-bid meetings, having staff out here to support those making applications, and extending their standard time for putting a proposal together from 60 days to the staff recommendation was 90 days. And with the Supervisor Benoit's urging, they went out to 120 days. So there'll be 4 months to prepare proposals. And the clock has started ticking. As you all know, CVAG and working with all of our communities, has looked at this parkway concept as one of the applications that would go into the air district. At the Transportation Committee a week ago today, and at the Energy and Environment Committee, a meeting that Katie was describing on Thursday, this topic was brought up, and both committees unanimously supported moving forward with the CBAG application for funds. The Transportation Committee, of course, is focusing on the transportation funding portion of this, and the idea would be to use future CBAG transportation dollars to match Sentinel air quality dollars. The concern out of that committee, and I think it's been addressed in the policy, was any funding coming out of CBAG should not jeopardize any of the high-priority projects and commitments CBAG's already made to major interchange projects and arterial projects in our region. The other actions were discussed at the Energy and Environment Committee, and that is simply authorizing staff to move forward with an application. And that's the suite of recommendations that you have before you, and I'd be happy to try to address any questions you might have.
Tom, any advice on, I know our staff is looking at this and saying, should we put in applications? One was actually for charging stations. And if you don't know, Palm Desert's had two charging stations for over 15 years. I don't imagine, in fact, one of the charging stations was the home of the occupiers, and no one complained that they couldn't charge their vehicles. So it makes sense for us to see how the CBAG application plays out for charging along this corridor, but any advice to us on applying or putting in an RFP? Are we sticking as a group, or are we all?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Initially, I think the supervisor approached this many months ago, and he's had meetings with some of you, some of your elected officials, and others in the community. I think his intent 6 months ago when we began thinking about how to use air quality mitigation funds was for CBAG or the Coachella Valley to prepare a unified application. We knock on Diamond Bar's door and say, here's $53 million worth of projects. That doesn't seem feasible at this stage. I think the South Coast Air Quality Management District does what it does. They issue RFPs and they put them out to everybody and anybody. And that means that not only cities, but water districts and nonprofits and private businesses are eligible to put in funding request. That said, I think it's still the supervisor's wish that we work together to some degree, and we've got 4 months to do so. So I think that my best advice at this stage is have CVAC continue to work on the Parkway project. And then we sit down probably even at your next meeting or subsequent meetings with a supervisor and talk about how best to coordinate applications. I don't think CVAG, certainly as a staff level, doesn't want to discourage good applications coming from all parts of our community. At the same time, we'd like, I think, the Parkway project to be fully funded, whatever that ends up meaning. So there's more to come on that front.
Chairman, I'm just curious if it has been clearly defined what a priority project is, where that line is drawn, because it says, I guess the statement would say, would not delay construction of any currently obligated project or delay any other pending high priority project. So is there a line drawn where it's high and not so high?
Yeah, the question did come up at the Transportation Committee, and I just be honest with you, I don't think we could draw that line, right, even if we wanted to. The intent is there. I think the policy intent is, it's not just, it's pretty much anything on the books, and planning projects that are currently in the planning stage, like Jefferson Interchange, that's obviously the number one priority in the TPPS. And yet there's not a funding commitment by all of the agencies yet because the project hasn't been authorized by Caltrans, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a list of a dozen other priority projects that are in the planning stage and are high-priority regional projects. And those, again, we would say those take precedent over a new project, this alternative transportation project. I guess it's one of those we'll know it when we see it type things. And I think there will be some consensus about priority projects in this region.
But we'll know it when we don't have the money to
pay for that one. Well, I'd be concerned about that, too. Good news is Measure A receipts are up, and maybe we're starting to see the end of the worst parts of the recession here, and things are ticking up a little bit.
Yes, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we all have the same question, similar to what John brought up, about how the city managers write letters of support when some of us, maybe not in Palo Verde Valley, might have our own applications in the works or in the planning stages. This is the first I heard, though, that private businesses could apply. Is there any real competition out there? Are there some known businesses who have said, hey, we're coming after them?
Not to my knowledge, but certainly South Coast Air District grants. The private sector does compete, you know, whether it's fleet services, large UPS, or other folks that have fleets and they want to convert fleets, have been funded by the Air District before. I suspect the Air District has no policy preference, whether it's private versus non-profit or government.
So the determination clearly hasn't been made yet, though, that if one regional application came from CBAC for all the money, it's probably not going to happen. They're probably not going to grant that kind of blanket, here, you get all the money.
No, I think that's extremely unlikely.
So we don't have any competition.
We don't, and we won't know.
What's that? The competition is probably going to be ourselves.
Yeah.
But in individual applications.
Okay. Somebody at Vertec, say I want to convert my fleet to LNG or something, and then they get a whole rash of money.
They could.
Well, have you put the question to the executive committee as to whether they'll commit to just one application?
No, we have not. But there has been general discussions by the elected officials about how best to approach that. The focus, frankly, everybody here, the focus in recent weeks hasn't been on the application. It's done making sure all $53 million came to the Coachella Valley. So the political investment by the supervisor and others has been focused on that issue, not how we divvy it up in the Coachella Valley. And I think that's becoming in the coming weeks and months.
Yes. I am aware that there are private nonprofits that are, well, not technically from a business, but private nonprofits, for example, Angel League is looking at, have been approached by Clean Cities and the CNG folks about would they be interested in refleeting with CNG vehicles. So we can see organizations such as that step forward.
Yeah, when you throw $53 million on the table, for crying out loud, there's going to be a scramble.
And anybody's going to be trying to qualify anything to get into that pool.
Is there city interest now, or nobody wants to say yet?
Oh, yeah, there's dozen projects I'm hearing from my individual counselors that does this qualify? What would it take to put together this project or another?
Yeah, we've been requested to put a list together.
Yeah. What's this one?
Would there be some value in trying to get in certain areas, for example, charging stations are costly and everybody could conceivably benefit from being able to have those dollars together? Would there be a rationale for CVAG taking that topic or something similar to it and trying to figure out a way to bring forth a unified project that would, say, put charging stations into all the communities in the valley rather than each community trying to seek its own facility for that kind of work? Or CNG is another type issue where the clout of the organization would have maybe some impact with the awarding.
John raised the same issue on the charging stations. It's likely the Parkway project would include charging stations as one of the components of that project and be distributed throughout the community. Whether we would identify specific locations, I doubt it. I suspect we would say 10 charging stations throughout the master plan of the corridor, and it could be distributed pursuant to planning and environmental compliance later. But to the point of other types of projects, if there's interest among this group, and we certainly, when the supervisor and I were soliciting ideas over the last 6 months, we certainly saw common ideas like paving, whether you're in Coachella or Desert Hot Springs, there's an interest in paving unpaved roads and areas. It's possible CVAG could try to consolidate all that. At the same time, I've got some interest in managing my own workload, and we're going to have a heck of a time putting together what could be the largest application going to the South Coast Air District, and then coordinating lots of other smaller projects could be an added burden, but we could certainly be willing to do that if there looks like there's an opportunity. There are some aspects of this that do make Desert Hot Springs, Indio, and Coachella, and unincorporated area different than everybody else, and that is the criteria for funding. There's a 6 mile radius around the plant that's largely Desert Hot Springs and a little bit of North Palm Springs, and an environmental justice component, which is largely, certainly in terms of population, Indio and Coachella, and the unincorporated southeast part of the valley. And those grant applications will probably be a little bit different than everybody else's. So there's going to be more. We've got 4 months to kind of sort some of this stuff out. There may be action at the elected official level in terms of prioritization. I, for one, don't see terribly unusual, even for our local cities, to support a regional application and seek other projects as well. This, as David kind of spoke to in his question, we're not the only competition. We may be our best competition among those sitting around here, but there'll be others submitting applications as well.
Yes.
Tom, would it help? I reflect on when I talked to Senator Feinstein about legislation. Her comment was, is this a priority of Riverside County on a specific earmark that we were trying to get for, I think it was the Wilson Center for Sustainability. And, that question, the answer is, well, we'll have to go to Riverside County Board of Supervisors and talk to them about their priority. Maybe this is one of those issues that CVAG Executive Committee can identify their highest priority and help South Coast make a decision, not to discourage other cities from putting in applications, but at least they'll have CVAG's highest priority.
That's not a bad idea. In fact, that's kind of splitting the difference between CVAG doing its own thing and ignoring what's done in the rest of the region and doing everything. They're trying to consolidate applications, but some sort of policy statement from the region on priorities. And I think some of you saw the start of that in the discussions that Supervisor Benoit led with Steve Hernandez and other elected officials here through the Energy and Environment Committee. There was kind of a list, not necessarily in priority order, but a list of how that elected official group saw a appropriate distribution of funds. A couple million for paving, a couple million for school bus conversions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's certainly something I could explore with the chairman of CVAG, Supervisor Benoit, and the executive committee. We could discuss, if not a consolidated application, at least a consistent policy support from the Coachella Valley.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you. With all this discussion going on, and since there are clearly going to be some questions around the table in our own cities, are these recommendations today a bit premature?
Not for me. I've got to get started on work on an RFP, or a proposal responding to the RFP. So these questions are some of the other questions we're asking in terms of how does this fit with local priorities in any given city.
Well, in particular, what I was thinking was number three. Again, how can some of us write those letters if we're being told by our boards, our councils, to do something on our own?
You know, that interesting enough, that one did come up at the Energy and Environment Committee. And I don't know if, in fact, there was a sense that maybe that was premature. The motion went forward with that included. But from a staff perspective, I certainly respect that. Even if this were to move forward as suggested, requesting a letter doesn't mean we're going to get it. So it does not obligate any of our cities to actually put a support letter in. However, if the TAC would like to remove that request at this time and defer until later time, staff would support it. So if you feel that's premature at this time.
I'm just interested in or curious how that might look to some, especially some council members who might want to do something else. You know, believe it or not, some of us might go back and hear, you did what?
Yeah. But isn't the global project is the trail, which I believe does benefit most jurisdictions. So,
and then we have Supervisor Benoit's support for that?
Yes to both. The idea is that the Parkway project is a regional project for the Coachella Valley portion of CBAG. Again, in deference to our friends in the Palo Verde Valley. And yes, there's support from the supervisor conceptually. In the project, and yes, there's general support in the region for the project, but that doesn't, I think the point that some of you have is that your elected officials on your bodies have not taken a position probably for or against this project, and is it premature to seek a letter of support? Perhaps. That's your call.
But I think directing CBAG to go ahead and put together the application is a good idea. You have 120 days. And how many days into that already are you?
Well, just one or two. However, thanks to some not too bright executive director, we have fewer executive committee meetings than we used to. So we don't actually have a lot more meetings in the next 120 days. So I do want to move forward with this so we can get started on preparing the application.
I think if you took out number three, I'd be thankful.
Yes, Dave.
I'm not as concerned about number three as I am about number four, because number four is one that could actually have some material impact that we don't know about yet. If we assume there's going to be a significant match associated with a $50 million plus project, and there will be some match associated with that, we're just not sure how far down that list that's going to go. And to commit to that, just because it's an unknown, it's a concern.
That policy statement was actually derived from discussions directly with your representative to the Transportation Committee. I think he worked on it with Supervisor Benoit, and I think the supervisor tried to address that very concern. I suspect it's not so much the policy statement, but how is it going to be applied is the question, and there are no guarantees. But I do think there was a commitment, certainly from the supervisor and from your staff here, that the priority projects are just that. One bit of information that you all may not have is, frankly, the air district's anxious to get this off their books. They want to put the money into the economy and into emissions reductions as quickly as possible. Therefore, if CVAG were fortunate enough in receiving funding through this, we see using air district money first, not transportation dollars first. And as you can imagine, this is a long-term project with a number of steps ahead of us. So we don't envision transportation dollars being used in the near future at all.
And it does say that it would exempt currently obligated projects, so those would be committed for already.
That's certainly the case.
Yes, Dave.
It seems to me that we're kind of all dancing around the same thing, that one and two could be easy to approve today, allow you and your staff to move forward. And if you got the answers to 3 and 4 on day 119, you're probably still good to go with that. Would that be an accurate statement?
Our meeting schedule complicates all of that. We don't meet very often.
I would certainly prefer that we move
forward. Were you blaming me for that?
No, it was me. I said the not very smart executive director. I didn't say the smart one. No, we did change our meeting schedule this year, and we have fewer meetings, so there are fewer opportunities to go forward. I'd like to move forward with all four items, but the number three in particular could certainly be deferred until each of your city councils and governing bodies has had a chance to figure out your own local priorities.
And you only need the letters three by the day you submit the application.
Right, exactly.
So I've got 3 or 4 months to, or 3 months to worry about this on my own.
Exactly.
From a selfish standpoint, I'll make the motion that we authorize this to go forward with the elimination of number three.
I'd second that.
Yes. Mike, I share the same concern with David Garcia. I'm not comfortable with number four just yet, only because our council has not had a chance to weigh in. I don't know. There may have been one member of our city weighing in on this issue in the committee, but our council has not been briefed on this whole even policy change, and I'd be uncomfortable going with three and four.
I have the same problem. I mean, my council's taking a look at it, and they're scratching their heads right now. They neither support nor oppose. It's just that they're unclear yet.
That's there's a motion. Okay.
I agree with perhaps the elimination number four. Number three, it simply says request a letter. It's up to us whether or not, and we have a legislative committee, and we'll take that forward to a committee and then the council. And it's up to our city council whether they want a letter of support. It doesn't say require. CBEC can request it, and then we handle it through our own process. I am concerned with number four, and I'm not sure how to handle number four because it's really future funds, and it becomes extremely difficult. As you mentioned, Dan, how do you draw that line? Projects 10 years out for Palm Desert might be important projects, but is that above the line or below the line? We don't know. Nor is it an easy answer for CBEC to answer, or an easy question for CBEC to answer, because it relates to cash flow, it relates to revenues coming in. Our crystal ball in cities haven't been that good in identifying when this recession is up and what redevelopment commitments we have that we have to figure out. I would be supportive of keeping three in and eliminating four until we see cash flow analysis, and maybe from that draw a line on the CPPS.
My reason for taking three out, though, is we want to be seen as being supportive. And for some reason, in my case, I couldn't submit the letter. I wouldn't want that to fly in the face of this recommendation that you asked for the letter.
Can I, what if, and there's a motion on the floor, right?
Yes,
that's correct. And I'm not sure that, I guess there could be a substitute, but what if we approved one and two and just sent three and four forward without a recommendation? We do that.
You could do that. We do have an obligation because both policy committees have made recommendations here to move it forward to the executive committee. You could submit a recommendation saying would recommend number one and two. And I could certainly, my staff report, indicate that there's a discussion about number three and four, or number three or number four. That could be a part of the information provided to the executive committee.
That addresses the concerns of Indio and Palm Desert. I'll amend my motion to reflect that.
So where are we at?
Is this a substitute motion?
Yes.
He's
made the motion, so he could have amended.
So I'll give the seconder a chance to second the amended motion. If not, then I'll
second. Right, Randy's. I'll go ahead and second the amended motion.
Can you repeat the amended motion?
Yes.
Yes, but it's going to be now what David just said, and that is we'll go forward. We recommend going forward with one and two, and instead of pulling three and four, move three and four ahead to the executive committee with no recommendation.
Can I ask a question to Tom? I mean, how do you feel about that, Tom?
I feel it's fine. I've got some obligation to move it forward because of our policy committees. It does make me, I think John did a nice job of describing the, frankly, the uncertainty. And I'm very straightforward with you all about the policy statement. I think it does provide some protection, but where is that line? What I don't want to do is draw a line. I think it's a mistake, it's a challenge. And frankly, if you look at the TPPS, again, we know what is a priority. There are items on the TPPS that are very high priority projects that will never be built because of their cost, technical reasons, engineering reasons, environmental reasons. And drawing a line just isn't an exact science. I don't think it could be done. So I'd rather not engage me or Alan or anybody else on our staff in trying to draw a line. So I think moving forward the way you all suggested makes good sense. We'll let the elected officials make the call. If they want to defer on a couple of these to some other meeting, I suppose they could do that as well. As you probably all appreciate, the idea, again, coming from Supervisor Benoit and your staff here, is the application in the South Coast is made that much more desirable if funding, leveraged funding was provided. And so it does make our application much more desirable, I think, in Diamond Bar if there's a significant local commitment.
We have a motion and a second. Any those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. I guess, Tom, just for clarification on that, having put together a few grants in my life, I realized how important those letters of support are. So I guess from the county's perspective, I will still be pursuing that. I guess we will encourage everyone to get those to you.
Yeah, and by the way, we are submitting grants, and I reported to all of you, we've submitted one grant application so far related to this project, and we received it, $200,000 related to charging stations. We are submitting another grant application that's due on Wednesday for $1 million in sustainability funding. And this region has not competed very well for these grants in the past. I'll bet you right now that it competes extremely well on this project. This is just the sort of thing they want to hear in Sacramento right now. And we did receive letters of support from almost all of you on that grant application. That does not mean that your city endorses the project. It means you endorse CBAG seeking $1 million from the state to support the master planning on the project. So thank you all for doing that. There are a couple of you that didn't get a chance to do so yet, and I'll ask you about it after the meeting.
Tom, if you'd commit to the $300,000 we talked about earlier, I'll sign anything.
I knew you were headed with all those compliments earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
The rhythm is right.
Okay. Item E, consider agreement with the city of Cathedral City for improvements to 8 Palm Drive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The City of Cathedral City is requesting regional funding support for the design and construction of improvements to Date Palm Drive, just south of the Date Palm Drive I-10 interchange project, which is now under construction, to include the intersection of Vistachino Drive. The total estimated cost of the project is $746,750. The City of Cathedral City is requesting CBAC funds at 75% of the cost, the amount of $560,062. The project is ranked in the TPPS among the top 10 projects to be completed, and this is a high-priority project that will now allow the City of Cathedral City to take advantage of the current bid environment. You'll find a plan view on page 36 of your agenda showing the limits of work of the interchange project and the proposed limits of work of the remainder project that City of Cathedral is requesting now. It shows how it ties into the interchange project and completes that work and the intersection work. The recommendation today is that you approve an agreement with the City of Cathedral City for improvements to Date Palm Drive and Vistachino Drive in the amount not to exceed $560,062. And the Transportation Committee concurred with this recommendation at their meeting last Monday. Any questions?
Thank you, Alan. Any questions?
I move approval.
Second.
Any comments? We have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Life abstains.
Item F is the county fast track legislation. I believe that was slated for Tom Friedman.
You spoke to him.
He said he was going to be here, but I haven't heard anything further than that.
I know a little bit about that proposal. Tom approached the, well, actually, I believe Supervisor Benoit and Tavoloni had an item about 4 to 6 weeks ago on the board. Was agenda to ask the state to entertain a fast-track legislative proposal that would somehow mimic some of the county's fast-track policies. And we've had some discussions with our lobbyists on that, and they're researching that. You know, Tom knows many of the details about that proposal. I'm not that familiar with all the ins and outs, but we did get some resistance in talking to a couple of the state agencies on this. Tom, I don't know if you know any.
I really don't.
Okay. So we're still pursuing that, and for the next meeting, I'll get an update from Tom and pass it on. Item 7 is legislative update.
I don't have anything.
Okay. And item 8, announcements. Next is Monday, April